Welcome to Office Hours, live here at the SiriusXM Studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. This is definitely the hero edition of Office Hours. We've had extraordinary heroes, but none that reached the level of one of my heroes, Tim Kennedy. I'm going to read it off because I don't want to miss out on anything. And I want to point out that only in the age of today could you even have the background of these experiences. Number one, I want to thank you for your service because he is a Green Beret and a sniper. He is also a black belt and a UFC fighter. He is also an entrepreneur. He is also a TV host and, of course, an extraordinary speaker. He also had the number one book in the entire world. That's no joke. Scars and Stripes. And if you haven't read it, it's a must read and a great perspective on how to live to your potential and to deal with relativity and perspective. It's an honor, as always, to have Tim Kennedy on Office Hours. Thanks for joining us.
That's my pleasure, man. I love you guys. Thanks for everything that you guys do.
It's an amazing world. Now, with all of that background, what's your priority? You know, you have all these different things going on, and I think prioritization is one of the challenges that so many hyper-dynamic, self-actualizing people have, is there's so many options, so many opportunities. You know, and I know that you have the discipline, character to be successful at all of them, but which ones or how do you determine what to prioritize?
Yeah, time first and foremost. And then, you know, like that, obviously it's a weird intro for you to open like that. And then I'm a super underwhelming in person. You're like, yeah, this guy is actually not that impressive.
I disagree, but okay. Humility is awesome.
Is that you're never done learning. I actually just had this conversation with my 10-year-old in the car, picking him up from school today, where he was going into my, I have a couple of different wallets and a few different phones because I just came back from Washington, D.C. And he was like thumbing through my stuff, going through pocket litter. And I was explaining to him that there's not some stuff in that wallet right now because I had already taken it out. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, there's no way that you know that. And that's the worst thing that you could possibly say ever. Have you ever heard me say, yeah, I know, because I'm never done learning. So to answer your question specifically, it's really like how I treat my time in three different buckets. And then that you should just always have this thirst for learning.
Love it. Mm. Dr. Samantha Hart, meet Tim Kennedy.
I am so excited to talk to you right now. I read this bio and was like, oh my God, the thing that jumped out was what you have seen in your life. And I'm a trauma-informed practitioner. And so I'm thinking of the level of trauma you've lived through just by nature of your accomplishments. And, you know, we know now trauma is not what happened to us. It's the meaning we made of what happened to us. And for you to be where you are, and also your essence over this virtual conversation is very free. You're very open. You don't seem scarred down by whatever you may have seen or experienced. And so what have you done with what's happened to you?
Well, doctor, that's an incredible question because I'm finishing my second book. Mm. And you guys didn't know this, and it's called The Purpose of Pain. Mm. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I think if you, and I don't think there's any way that you can prioritize or categorize or even rate types of trauma. And it's just, as you said, it's how you have internalized them. It's how you've processed them. What kind of external mechanisms you have to deal with them, the coping mechanisms. But if you objectively look at my life, from physical trauma to Iraq and Afghanistan, Africa, you know, crisis after crisis, war after war, humanitarian crisis after disaster, you're just inundated with horrific pain, both emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And, you know, I physically live with a lot of pain just because I was really and have been unkind to my body. Mm. But, you know, there is this power of grace and faith that are huge components of my life. Mm. And I'm super blessed to have an amazing wife and amazing children and amazing parents and an amazing brother and sister, and to be educated and to be, you know, financially sound. And every single one of those little tiny things is a important brick in the foundation of how you're going to be dealing with the pain that happens in your life. Mm. And how you can convert that pain into power and use, you know, some of that suffering as fuel to want to change the world and do good. And, you know, that's what I have tried to do. That's what I tried to do. And what I have tried to have done throughout my whole entire life is, you know, convert failure. And there's a lot, you know, it's been a rough year for me with lots of other different types of failure that I've never even experienced before. So it's just this constant growth of recognizing that I'm imperfect, being graceful with myself and knowing that I have somebody that has forgiven me, and I'm continuing to work to be the best version of myself and to help others.
So smart. Ike, full of love.
Tim, thank you.
Are you a loving guy?
Pretty loving.
Tell him what you do. Tell him what you do. Tell Tim what you do.
My name is Ike, and my company is called Ike's Love and Sandwiches.
136 locations.
Sick. I love both of those things.
we'll get you hooked up. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your inspiration, Tim. Regarding Apogee Strong, what are, one, please share it with everybody here, but also, what are some of the things that you are hoping, lessons to impart on the young folks that you really would love for them to learn?
Yeah. We've been living in an era, social media is a powerful force. You know, I've raised millions of dollars, you know, for like Hurricane Helene, thanks to like Chris Pratt and the Jocko Willinks and, amazing Americans that step up to make a difference. Like that's the good that social media does. But social media is a toxic, destructive, horrific thing, especially for, you know, for young people, especially around mental health. And, you know, it's a struggle to keep your feet underneath you and based in reality when there's so much toxic attacks coming everywhere. And, you know, people just complain and complain and complain. So for Apogee, I recognize that education had been failing an entire generation. I don't think anybody can look at what has been happening in public school systems for the past 30, 40 years and be like, you know what, we're really producing a spectacular product of innovators, collaborators, you know, people that can work in teams. You know, we've been creating tax mules. We've been, conditioning people to behave in certain ways and respond to certain types of stimulus, but none of it is at the essence of what has made America great, which is innovation. You know, we have innovated our way into winning world wars. We have innovated our ways into like winning cold wars. We have innovated our way into becoming the superpower of this world. And, we're now falling behind, and that really, really scared me. And even worse, during COVID, seeing, you know, I have two grown daughters and I have two young children still in elementary school, how they struggled with, you know, a virtual graduation, a social distancing graduation, where they're going to be attending school on a iPad or a computer. And I'm just like, we're missing out on so much. There was also this very dangerous perception that I'm going to give up the control of my children to somebody else, specifically the government, to teach them what values are, to teach them about sex, to teach them about morals and integrity, and then also to teach them history, which, you know, like depending on who's teaching it can be taught a lot of different ways. Mm. So we were missing out on this thing that just used to be the village raising the child. So Apogee is this, it's not unique. It's a Socratic approach that goes all the way back to Socrates. Like this is thousands of years old of proven data. Lots of different institutions use it. So from the Waldorfs to the Montessoris, you know, to just program-based learning, we just wanted to give the reins back to the parents and make sure that there's healthy households where husbands and wives are living healthy, which is super important, that their marriage is strong, and the heads of the household are then intimately involved in the children. And then you build this community around that. And then the joy, this contagious, brilliance of watching these young minds start reaching their real potential when you give the children the agency to start making decisions for themselves. I'm not telling them to sit down with a number two pencil and to fill in a bubble. I'm saying, hey, do you want to like design a product and take it to market and create a website and start teaching me how to do a P&L? And we're doing this with like third graders.
Yeah, right.
They're doing it better than MBA students at you pick the school. I promise that these kids would crush the vast majority of MBA students throughout the United States. And they're seven. You know, it's bonkers how amazing these children are.
Tim, it's interesting. I'm the chief chancellor of Junior Achievement University with over 100 million alumni. And they just were nominated for the third straight year under the precept of what you're talking about, which is entrepreneurs are going to save the world. Innovation is what's going to save the world. Turning plastic to food will clear our ocean faster than recycling. And there's a variety of different things, but it's so interesting because I'd love to invite you to be a chancellor in that cause. But I love the fact that even the Nobel Prize board is seeing the importance of innovation in our children. And we're 5 to 25-year-olds, inspiring them to figure out how to innovate our way, especially with the power of technology today, to a better place to live, a better divine direction for all of us. I also want to note, before we give you the treat of talking with Bucky, I always say there's no lazy kids, there's just lazy parents. And I love that it's a holistic approach. And people ask me where I got my work ethic. I said, it wasn't taught to me. It was caught by me watching my single mom work two jobs, fill in a station wagon so we could help each other learn. It was caught. Yeah. And I want my kids to catch it from me and my wife with that type of environment. I know, Bucky, you run your household the same way.
I do.
Welcome.
My best.
Introduce yourself to incredible Tim Kennedy.
Awakened, alive, and connected, man. That's what I get from you. So good. And I just want to say thank you for your service all the way across the board, not only in the armed forces, but as you serve humanity. I want to talk to you about taking a stand, right? Because I get that. Like what you've done and who you've are, it's like you've taken a stand for something. I want to talk to you about the moments, the genesis of what it means to take a stand for you, the internal rustle of that stand, and then the execution of that stand holistically, whether that's in the armed forces, at a UFC match, or whether this is project with the school that you have going on. What does that look like for you? What are some of the details that you can share with us as how you process and how you move through that effectively?
Yeah, I think for people to take a stand, they kind of have to know who they are. Mm. I've had to reinvent in my life multiple transitions through careers, from a professional fighter, being a professional active duty soldier, being a Green Beret to going to Ranger school, to going to sniper school, coming back from war, moving, into television and public speaking. So there's, to being an author, to being an entrepreneur, it's been frightening of this constant change. And there's been constant growth and unfortunately constant failure. And I learn from those failures. I'm a flawed and imperfect person in everything that I've ever done. I, if you look at my professional record, there's losses on there. If you look at my time serving military wise, I have, incredible, we call them NCORs. It's like this yearly report about how you are as a soldier. Those read really well. But then if you talk to my bosses, they're like, man, you suck at so many things. I try to be a really good dad and I try to be a really good husband. But if you probably hear my kids a few times around the corner, I'm sitting here playing with my dad rocks rock, by the way.
I like that.
Yes. My fidget spinner. You go ask my wife, if I'm the perfect husband, man, you're going to get an earful. So once you kind of know who you are and you know what you stand for, you know what your values are, at some point, you're going to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what I'm going to stand for. That was clearly shown to me by my father and by my uncles and by my grandpa, by my mom and my grandma, and by my aunts. They're just brilliant, powerful people that were people of integrity. One of my earliest memories, one of the most formative memories of my life, my dad was an undercover narcotics officer that was kind of during the peak war on drugs. And we were at this conference, the California Narcotics Officers Association. We're in like West Covina or Pasadena. And we went to a mall where we had dinner and we went out to the Chevy Suburban, 1981 Chevy Suburban. We all pile in there. My two siblings, my mom and my dad. And I hear the most horrific and scariest scream from a woman I've ever heard in my life. And this is a dark parking lot, right? This is in the '80s. This is probably 1985, 1986. And it seemed so dark. And when the scream rang out, it was smothering. Like you couldn't breathe. And my dad, just cool as a cucumber, just looks over at my mom and is like, you know, just wait right here. I'll be right back. And he walks off into the darkness to this scream. And, you know, it was a woman being assaulted. And, you know, 10 minutes later, which seemed like 10 hours, the lights and sirens are showing up. And my dad comes back, gets in the car, drives us back to the hotel. And we had an amazing night. I think we stopped for like some ice cream on the way back. And it was the fearlessness, the commitment, and the resolve of, I don't know what that is, but I have to go and fix it. Because if you are going to stand by why bad things happen to people, or you have the ability to help somebody and you don't, you're almost complicit in what's happening to those people.
Yes.
You know, as we're like, November 1st is about to come around, and a lot of people are going to be struggling to find food. Like, if you're not making a plan, if your church isn't stepping up, if your community and your tribe is not stepping up, you're complicit in, you know, if it's going to be a run on a Walmart, you could have helped. If it's going to be, you know, like you sitting there and serving food on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, that's the duty. And then when you know who you are, you have that line in the sand, and in the know who you are part, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. We all have, you know, our assets and our liabilities. I've been very blessed to have been part of some great organizations that have given me a lot of capability. You know, like not everybody can hop on a plane and fly to Afghanistan while people are falling off wheel wells during the evacuation of August of 2021. Not everybody can fly into, you know, Western North Carolina after Hurricane Helene and hop on a helicopter and go and start, you know, delivering communication, food, and water to people in remote and isolated areas. Like, I get that, but everybody can do something. And when you know who you are and you draw that line in the sand and you then say, okay, I'm going to help. And it then becomes a superpower. Yeah. Because you know where your feet are and you know why you're here, and then you have purpose. Otherwise, we're just wandering, you know, floating through the galaxies, wasting our time here on Earth.
Brilliant.
Well, you certainly aren't wasting any time, especially here on Earth, with your mission of helping others for the sake of truly our country and even the world. And Tim, it's always an honor to have you. Your insights, your lessons, and your perspective are so inspirational. I know you're inspiring these three extraordinary people next to me who are dying to get to know you better. Please promise me one thing. You'll come back every time we invite you, whatever we have to do to get you on to this show. You are just such an amazing person, and anything we can do to serve you, all you got to do is ask. Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Tim Kennedy here on Office Hours.